Thank you. You may be seated. I know that was a longer passage for sure. And you'll notice toward the end of it, Jesus is going through Jericho. Jericho is a place that had been cursed. And you read in the book of Joshua, there was a curse placed on Jericho. But it is a place where there is the offer of amazing grace that day as Jesus goes through. So what I would like us to do is just to think about on the way to the cross, what are some of the things that Jesus did? And in this passage, the first thing that we see is he makes a prediction, a prediction. And I love the fact that nothing takes God by surprise, don't you? There is a statement or two here that is just amazing. The disciples are afraid because they're going up to Jerusalem and they know that he is under threat there. But as he takes them aside, he gives a prediction. He is leading the way to Jerusalem and he says to the 12, look, this is what's going to happen. And as you look at that, there you see in verse 33, he says, we're going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be betrayed. And he goes on and he goes through everything that is going to happen to him. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this Irishman well enough to know that if by prediction I could say, this is what's going to happen to me, I'll be betrayed, I'll be condemned to death, I'll be beaten, I'll be mocked, I'll be flogged, and I'll be killed. That might kind of interrupt my journey. I might be looking for a way of escape. But I want you to notice, nothing takes the master by surprise. Why did he say that? Because he wanted them to understand. This is why we're going up to Jerusalem. This is why I'm leading you to Jerusalem. I am going to die as a substitute for your sin, for my sin. Nothing takes him by surprise. Now that blesses my heart when I stop to really think about the depth of that statement. He speaks to the 12 about all these things, but notice at the very end of verse 34, he also says, 3 days later, he'll rise. You know, he told them and he told them and he told them, and they still didn't get it until it happened. You know, there are many people in this world who've heard the gospel and it's been told them and told them and told them. And they know about the Lord Jesus, but to know him personally, wonderfully, vitally. Jesus predicted all those things. And as I read through it, to me, it's like he's saying, this is all the stuff that I'm going to Jerusalem to go through for you. Remember that verse I started us off with this morning? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, talk about an expression of the love of God. It's hard to suffer, isn't it? But it's even harder to suffer for someone else who doesn't deserve it. And on the way to the cross, Christ sets out in this prediction all of those things that he is facing. That would be a crushing burden, don't you think, to carry? And the second thing we see on the way to the cross in this passage is that there is also a preparation. As the Lord Jesus speaks to the 12 and he tells them everything that's going to happen, look at what happens amongst them. I used to think, boy, these guys, look at what they're talking about compared to what Jesus just said. And then I realized one day, I'm in that camp. Indeed, we're all in that camp. Because you see, as you look with me at verse 35, James and John, see, there I am. The sons of Zebedee came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Isn't that what we really like to do? To say, God, would you just be my servant and do what I ask? If you would just only do what I ask, I would be so happy. I could get all the things that I ever wanted. Lord, would you just do whatever we ask? That's our human nature. And as we think about this preparation, it's not an accident that this is placed in Scripture right where it is, because we need to see this morning something that's going on internally here. There are two very different attitudes going on. There is James and John, and they're saying, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. We want to sit on the right hand and on the left hand. Wow, we want to be there in glory. We want to be in that spot. Everybody will see us. I think they're the Irish disciples. And then there's another attitude in here. It says just a little bit further down, verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Oh, now, wouldn't you think walking along with Jesus that there'd be infinite peace, love, and grace? There'd never be a conflict. There'd never be a problem. Everything would be just roses. But the problem is, you see, people and attitudes, oh, they do get in the way, don't they? When the 10 saw what James and John were trying to do, then they become Irish too. Well, who do they think they are? And they're all offended. Yeah. You see, this thing happens in human life, doesn't it? There are offenses that come. Jesus has just spoken of his priority. He's going to the cross, and he's going to suffer all those things. But the disciples are looking at, what do I get out of it? And then there's this internal row going on. They're indignant with the two who asked for that promotion, as it were. And in life, there are jealousies and hurts and things that happen, and people who get advanced and we don't, and this happens and that happens, and it goes on and on. But you notice Jesus steps in and he says to them, this is the way the world operates. The big bosses have authority over everybody, but it won't be like that amongst you. When Jesus steps in, he steps in and addresses those offenses. And he's really saying to them, you don't need to be like that. You don't want to be like that. You need to be free of those kind of things. He told James and John, I can't let you sit on my right hand and left hand, because those places are for those that they were prepared for. You don't need to worry. Jesus, if you have asked him to be your Savior, he has a prepared place for you and for me. In John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. How wonderful is that? But as you look at this text with me, He goes on and addresses that attitude and tells them, if you really want to be great, well, here's what to do. You see, I've learned in the years that the Lord has given me that if you carry bitterness and offenses in your heart, they'll always stop you. They'll always break you. They'll always get in the way. But when we give life to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the candidates were saying this morning, I want to follow him all the way. I want him to be Lord of my life. Then we have given up the right to carry those offenses, and we can let them go at the foot of the cross. And we can know the freedom that Christ brings to us. And Jesus says to them, if you want to be great, learn to be a servant. And if you want to be greater, learn to be the slave of all. Now, where in all the world do you find people who are excited to be the servant and the slave of Jesus? Where do you find the attitude that says, pick me, pick me, pick me, I want to do it. It's okay, I'm not wearing the kilt today. I can jump around a little. You see what Jesus is doing here? He is preparing these men. He says to them, you will know the baptism that I am baptized with. All of those disciples, except for John, died a martyr's death, baptized the same as the Master, to give it all up for the glory of God. There's a preparation going on here because he knew that after he was risen and ascended, these are the men who would lead the church. And you cannot lead it with an attitude of pride. It only works in humble servanthood. And the power of the gospel is to love people as Christ loves them. And so, what we need in these days, it seems to me, is servants, not celebrities. Does that make sense to you? Servants, not celebrities. Often we're more interested in building human empires and kingdoms than we are in building the kingdom of God. But the Savior calls them that day together and he says, it won't be like this amongst you. You can learn to be the servant of all. Last fall, we had Gerard de Toy with us. He's a South African brother, and he spoke on prayer for a weekend. You know, when I think about him, I remember a great big conference where he was scheduled to preach on the Sunday morning, and the committee that organized it said, he has a strong accent. We can't put him up there to preach on Sunday morning. Let's ask another fella. His name was Joe Homrichaus, another great brother in Christ. And I remember seeing on the Sunday, as that service started, Gerard walk over to Joe, shake his hand, give him a hug, and say, I'm praying for you. You see, that's how it should be. And as long as we carry offenses, we can't make that kind of progress. So on the way to the cross, Jesus made a prediction and he made preparation for them to understand. Don't carry those kind of things. Now let me get very personal. And let me love you enough to say, if you're here this morning and life has treated you bitterly, don't carry that bitterness. Bring it this morning to the foot of the cross and let the Lord Jesus do as he did that day. Because as they went on, we see them growing in leaps and bounds as he goes to the cross. The last thing we might just zero in on for a couple of moments before we sing again is that Jesus also made provision on the way to the cross. I love the verses 46 through 52. You see, there's compassion and there's healing there. On the way to the cross, he had time for Bartimaeus, Timaeus the son. I often think, here is this blind man who begs for his living and bread. And there are all of the religious people of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they look at Jesus and they say, we've got to get rid of him. He's going to cause trouble. And then you have this little blind man sitting with nothing. Nothing but his pain and a broken life. And as he's sitting there, and they tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. Look in your Bible. What did he say? Did he say, Jesus of Nazareth? What did he say? Jesus, Son of David. He's calling the Messiah. He's speaking of the one who is anointed to come and bring an end to all the misery upon this earth. This blind man could see what all the well-educated missed. Glory to God. Look at how he so moves in his compassion to this man. Here is this one. He must have sat there who knows how long. But oh, dear friends, the minute that he knows that Jesus is passing by, he will not shut up. Now, if I was to say to Pastor Shea, he doesn't know about this, so Pastor Shea, would you come up here? Come on. Would you say something to the folk here, something that you would like, something that you would like God to do for you?
For me.
For you.
Heal my family from this wretched cold.
Say it louder.
Heal my family from this wretched cold.
Now, how would you like it if I was standing in the way? You come down a bit. And this guy is shouting from behind me. Say it again.
Heal my family from this wretched cold.
How would you like it if I was in the way and all that I could do is say, shut up, be quiet, come on. Now he's all offended. You can bring those offenses to the altar at the end. That's what was happening that day, isn't it? And Jesus could have looked at Bartimaeus and said, listen, I'm a little pressed just now. I just told my followers here, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be nailed to a cross. I'm going to die. So don't interrupt me just now. But instead, Jesus says, bring him here. See it? And oh, if we're carrying a burden this morning, the Lord Jesus is saying, bring it here. He didn't turn him away. He didn't turn him down. He turned him loose. But would you notice that in the text here, it gives us one little thing that I just want to touch on. In verse 50, it says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. That cloak might have been the only thing that he owned, but he threw it aside. What is it that you need to throw aside today to encounter the risen, living Lord Jesus Christ and to know the power of His salvation and His resurrection. Oh, my friends, offenses hurt. They really do. But let's not carry them. And there are sometimes obstacles, things that encumber us, that get in the way. Things like, if I come to Jesus, everybody's going to look at me and say, why is that person going? My family will think I've lost it if I become a Christian. The people I work with, they wouldn't understand. And you see, the blanket just sits there until the moment that you say personally in your heart, Jesus is calling and I'm going. I have watched the effectiveness of His gospel all around the world, and I have never seen one who came to Christ who did not say afterwards, I wish I'd done that long ago. You know, on this baptism Sunday, I want to just encourage you. Doesn't matter if you were hurt by a church or a person or a denomination or whatever, let it go and get on to God's agenda. And whatever it is that stops you from coming to the cross, throw it aside and come to Him. Let's pray together. And as we pray this morning, I just want to ask you, just quietly in your heart, where are you this morning? Do you feel close to God? Are there things in the way? Things from the past? Things that hold you back? Jesus dealt with some of these on the way to the cross, and He is here this morning in the presence of His Holy Spirit to do the same thing. And if you will come to Him in prayer, He will meet you there. So just as we're at the place of prayer, may I ask you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus in that personal way that these four ladies spoke about this morning, you could just, in your heart, simply say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for speaking to me. I want to bring my offenses. I want to bring the obstacles. But I want to come to You. And I ask You, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And come and live in my heart so that I can know the truth and walk with You. And while we're in the attitude of prayer, if you prayed a prayer like that, or you have a need, I'm going to close with a few more sentences of prayer. But if you prayed that prayer and would like me to pray for you, or if you have a need you'd like me to pray for unspoken, just take a moment and slip up your hand, and I'll be happy to pray for you, with you. Thank you. God bless you. Others. Yeah. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank You for Your presence here. Thank You for Your love and grace to us. Thank You that on the way to the cross, You were concerned that Your followers would know the real sense of what makes people great, to love You and to serve You. Thank You that on the way to the cross, You could touch and save and heal one who was blind physically, but who experienced the grace and love of God in that place called Jericho where the curse rested. Father, would you minister to those who put their hand up just now? You know the need. You see every heart in this place. And so, Father, minister to each one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.